Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewels.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday with Duchess and Jewels. I'm Duchess, and this is Inside Matters, and that was Tarni, and that was Space Soldiers, and we're here to have another Sunday at 5 p.m. with Duchess and Jewels. Hey, Jewels, you out there?
Yes, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm always here to share my wonderful week with you guys, an awesome week I had with the little girl that I babysit. We were walking around, and we were looking at the different bugs. You know, her mother thinks that, ew, ew, ew. But I think it's wonderful because I went fishing. I went fishing with my partner and her son. And I started to touch worms, and it was so gross, but I did it. And we caught fish, but we put them back in. So I taught the little baby, here, this is a worm. So now she recognizes worms and ants and how they, you know, join together and walk across the sidewalk. And she is not afraid of bugs anymore because she knows that bugs are a type of life that needs to be loved and nurtured. So we was looking at the butterflies, and this butterfly was on the bush, and it wouldn't move. You know, you think of a butterfly getting all scared, but it was a big butterfly, too. And she was like, oh, look, Juju. That's what she called me, Juju, because my daughter, Fasha, kind of got upset because she was calling me Mommy at one time. You know, she was jealous. But anyway, oh, okay. She was like, look, Juju. And she looked at the butterfly, and we pointed to the butterfly. The butterfly let her touch it, touch the wings,
oh.
And she was so excited, and the butterfly moved and let her touch it again, and, oh, I was jumping up and down, and was like, yay! So, yes, so now all of a sudden she just loves butterflies, just loves them. But other than that, I'm doing fantastic. I'm kind of drained. So you might hear me, you know, go off into a distance, but, you know, I got a little bit of those vampires that suck the energy out of you, but you keep on moving, keep your head up.
Yeah, okay.
You
yeah.
know about those.
I know what you're
you know about,
about
those. Oh, man. You just
but I
do
wanna
and
talk
do
about...
and do. But it's
I wanna
okay.
Go back
it's okay.
To the, I want to go back to the butterflies. I remember
like
that time when... Because I remember the time we went to a retreat and you were starting to freak out because the butterflies in the field started flying around you and you were like going nuts because the butterflies were trying to get on you and one sat right on top of your cap. You had on a red cap and the butterfly sat right on your cap. As a matter of fact, I still have a picture of that. And I remember everybody saying, be calm, stand still, and the butterflies wanted to land on you.
Oh, my goodness. Was a lot of them flying on me or something?
There was a lot of them. A lot of them were flying near you, but one landed on your head. And that was a spiritual experience that I witnessed that I'll never forget.
That is so cool. Because now here I am, all grown up, 39 years old, and I'm touching worms and pulling the little fish off the hook so we don't have to kill them. They can go back in the water. And, oh, it's an
experience.
Well, we are
so, I'm sure everyone in our listening audience is right along with me, and we are so proud of you, Jewels, that you can touch a worm and a live fish. Well, I'm not going to do it. We are so proud that you are able to do this at your age, finally touch a worm. I want to share my experience with you this, but I had an experience this week.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, we did a show about R. Neville Johnston, and he was the author of Hidden Language Codes, This is the gentleman who had gotten shot 3 times with the fatal blow to the head, and he died, and then he came back to write a couple of books. Well, I went to visit him because he lives in Reston, Virginia, and that's not too far from where I am. And I had a wonderful, wonderful, fantastic time with him. And I took my assistant with me, and she tends to be the questioner. I love having a questioner with me because that gives me an opportunity to observe the dynamics of what's going on without me having to think what's the next question I'm going to ask. Then I got to listen to the answer. Then I got to write it down. When someone else is asking the question and the answer is being given, I'm able to observe the dynamics, and I love that. Well, one of the things he asked me personally was, how did I come by the name Duchess? He was going to order, he autographed the book that I had, and he was giving me one of his newest books, 11 Self-Improvement Protocols, New Paradigms for Our New Civilization. So he's going to autograph the book for me. So he wanted to know, well, how did you come by the name Duchess? So I told him that my oldest son used to refer to me as the Duchess. And he smiled, and he said, wow, that's a carryover from a past life of royalty. So I said, really? He said, yes. He said, and when you know what your past lives were, you are able to more deal with the reality of your current existence. And I said, well, how do you do that? He said, well, first you have to figure out what roles other people played in your royal court. And I'm writing this down. And as he says, so what role do you believe your son played in the royal court? And I'm writing and writing. He said, no. You can't think of it. He said, you can't think of it. He said, you have to come up with it immediately. Just say it. What role did this person play in your royal court? And I said, I'm not thinking of it. I said, as soon as you asked me the question, I knew what role he played in the royal court. He said, well, what was it? I said, he was the king. Just like that.
Are you serious?
He said, he was the king, huh? I said, yeah. He said, so do you think that's why he thinks he's in charge of you? And I almost fell out of my chair. So
wow.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to have a past life regression done. Now, I always said that I saw this show, what's the name? This show I saw a long time ago with Anthony Hopkins, a little girl named Audrey Rose, and they regressed That's a story to be told, but when I saw that movie, Audrey Rose, I vowed that I would never do a past life regression at all, because in the final end, they regressed this little girl all the way down to the womb until she was in her other life, and Anthony Hopkins believed that this was the reincarnation of his little girl who had died in the fire. So I was like, I'm never going to do this, but I think I'm going to do it. Because I always said I'd never be hypnotized, and I was hypnotized to stop smoking, and I stopped smoking after 40 years of cigarettes. Starting at 16, I started smoking, and then at 56, I stopped because I was hypnotized. So I think I'm going to do this, and as soon as I'm going to do it real soon. And
I
know how to carry myself.
You better share it with us. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, that depends on how much detail he gives me about my past lives. If I want to share it with anyone, it may be private, personal stuff. Because I know the things that I've done in this lifetime. And if I'm doing things in this lifetime that are bleeding through from a past, previous life, then some of the things there aren't meant for other people to know. So, today's show is devoted to our parents out there. Our parents out there with these indigo children. Our parents out there with the crystal babies. Our parents out there with your rainbow children. This show is dedicated to you. And so, Jules, We're going to take a moment. We're not going to take calls right away, and hopefully the calls that we get will be people who have these indigo, crystal, and rainbow children in their household, and they have questions that we might be able to share some enlightenment with them. So let's talk about them. We've talked in the past about the indigos and who they are and what they are and how they're forging forth. Well, not only are we going to just, this is Spirituality 101, we're going to do a refresher on that, but we're going to also talk about things that might be able to be helpful for parents in working with their children. And then the book review in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about books that parents can use to assist them with working with their specially gifted children. So let's meet the rainbow children. They are the embodiment of our divinity and the example of our potential. These are your rainbow children. The rainbow children have never lived on this planet before. They're going straight to the crystal children as their moms and dads. So rainbow children, they've never been a part of the reincarnation, you know, souls coming and going, being born and coming back again, because rainbow children have never lived on this planet before, and they're going straight to the crystal children as their moms and dads. These children are entirely fearless of everybody. They're little avatars who are all about service. These are children who are only here to give. Rainbow children are already at their spiritual peak. So there's no learning that they need. They're already there. They already have their psychic capability. These are your rainbow children. Then there's the crystal children. The first thing that most people notice about them is their eyes. Large, penetrating, and wise beyond their years. The crystal children's eyes lock on and hypnotize you while you realize your soul is being laid bare for these children to see. Perhaps you've noticed this special new breed of children rapidly populating our planet. I have seen some children with the biggest, most awesome eyes. I mean, when I see these children, their eyes are huge and pretty and beautiful and, like, crystal clear. Don't you have a crystal? Do you have a crystal or a rainbow?
I have a crystal child, and she is, her eyes, they lock into yours, just like you said, and just beautiful, just hypnotizes you, just make you want to do anything she says to do, but she's innocent about it. It's not like she's coming to you vicious. It's like, please, thank you. You know, it's just like, oh, thank you, because her manners are just, the way she carries herself with those eyes, it's just, okay, you know.
It's right.
Awesome.
These crystal children are happy, delightful, and forgiving. This generation of new light workers, roughly ages 0 through 7, are like no previous generation. They're ideal in many ways. Crystal children are the pointers for where humanity is headed, and it's a good direction. So the crystal children, they're going directly to their mamas and daddies, and their mommies and daddies will be the rainbow. Now, the older children, approximately 7 years on, are called indigo children. They share some of the characteristics of the crystal children. Both generations are highly sensitive and psychic and have important life purposes. We've been talking about indigos a lot and the fact that they have important life purposes. The main difference is their temperament. Now, indigos have a warrior spirit because their collective purpose is to mash down old systems that no longer serve us. They are here to quash government, educational, and legal systems that lack integrity. Did you see that new commercial, Jules? The new commercial, the Cheerios commercial with the biracial little girl talking to her mommy about Cheerios and it's heart healthy. And then her mother says yes, and she goes off, and you see her father laying on the couch, and little girl has poured Cheerios on the left side. He's sleeping. Poured Cheerios on the left side of his chest because that's where his heart is. Well, the father is African American, and the mother is white. And I mean the commentary of the racists over this biracial commercial was horrendous. They took this commercial and they showed it to some children, various age groups from like maybe 5 years old up to 13, 14 years old. And so the children are sitting there watching the commercial. And so when the commercial is over, the interviewer says, "So, how'd you like the commercial?" And each one of the children, when they were asked, they said, "Well, it's a Cheerios commercial, you know, like, what's the like?" And then they said, "Well, what do you think of the people in the commercial?" "Well, they're okay." And that little girl was so cute, she thought if she put the Cheerios on her daddy's shirt, that it was, I mean, these children, they were all racist. I mean, they did not connect with the fact that this was a biracial family. It was fascinating to watch these children. And then when the interviewer said, "Well, what do you think about the color of the parents?" And one little white boy said, "The what?" Because it never even entered their mind. So these are the children coming up now. These are the children of the future. They're here to quash government, educational, and legal systems that lack integrity. And to accomplish this end, they need tempers and fiery determination. So you got your indigo. They're coming.
Right,
they're here.
Right. They are, even indigos question. They question a lot. They question everything. I mean, you know, I was sitting in the car with an indigo child, and she was like, "Okay, why are you trying to make us believe in a book that you say is written by a man when men and women lie? So you're trying to make us believe in something and say it is true, but then you say on the other hand that man lies." So I'm just like dumbfounded, like I'm trying to get an answer for her, and she's just like, "Okay, hello," you know, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Well, you know what, you can't make up answers for them, okay? Because those adults, those of us who resist change and who value conformity may misunderstand these indigos. They are often most of them are mislabeled with the psychiatric, you know, stuff like ADD, ADHD and all that other happy stuff, you know, being facetious when I say happy stuff, because it's not happy stuff. Hyperactivity. Sadly, when these young people are medicated, I don't care if they're at puberty, they're pre-adults, or they are the young teens, when they're medicated, the indigos often lose their beautiful sensitivity, their spiritual gifts, and warrior energy. In contrast, though, to the crystal children are blissful and even-tempered. Sure, they may have tempers. They may have those temper tantrums occasionally, but the crystal children, these children, are largely forgiving and easygoing. The crystals are the generation who benefit from the indigo's trailblazing. First, the indigo children lead with a machete, cutting down anything that lacks integrity. Then the crystal children follow the clear path into a safer and more secure world. And now, once been done.
Okay. You're talking about parents out there. you know, you're talking about parents. And because I am watching a child and I'm observing this child, and yes, I spend more time with this child than her own mother does, okay? Her mother tells me, oh, she has temper tantrums and I just have to walk away, and, you know, and she does. She screams. But, you know, I've learned to not walk away and listen to her scream and call my name and, you know, the snot coming down her face. I learned to say, okay, we're getting ready to have nap time. No, I don't want to have nap time. Okay, go to your toy box and see what kind of toys you want to take to nap time with you. And I said, you want this one? Yes, well, go put it in your crib. You want this one? No. Okay, and so I take all the toys, little toys that she wants in her crib, and I take her, and I sit her down, and I say, okay, now you don't have to take a nap, but you need to sit here, play with your toys, and be quiet. So she's sitting there, and she's sitting there, and all of a sudden, she's like, Juju, the frog is going night-night. And she puts all her toys underneath her blanket, and then she lays up and talks to the fan, spinning around, and all of a sudden, no screaming, no crying, she goes to sleep. So all those parents out there need to throw away the old ways, because these are new children that are coming to this earth, and they need to listen, and they need to say, what is it different than the old style that I was brought up with that I can now teach my child? You know what I'm saying, Duchess? So I was just wanted to throw that up in there a little bit.
Well, to backtrack a little bit, the Indigo children lead with a machete, cutting down anything that lacks integrity. Then the Crystal children follow the clear path that the Indigo children have cut down. They follow the cleared path into a safer and more secure world. And now the fearless Rainbow children are pure givers, ready to fulfill our needs. Now, because these children need to have harmonious energy within their environment, they need to stay grounded and keep shielded. If the energy within your home is off, the children are wild. So we have parents that have children who are acting out, wanting to hit their mother's back. But how is the parent carrying themselves? How are they behaving? What kind of energy is the parent bringing into the house? Now, it's not right for a child to hit their parent, but what kind of model is the parent for the child? They will be much more aggressive towards their parents, or their siblings. They'll be fighting and they're crying and they'll be restless. They have more temper tantrums and mood swings and refuse any kind of authority when the home is energetically imbalanced. But when it's balanced, they are much more relaxed, calm, gentle, and peaceful. And we cannot be impatient, because this is a new breed of child. So we might have to, like you say, look for things that are alternatives to working with these children, because you can't just knock them down or get the belt out and, you know, because you have children with a warrior spirit that it's not going to work. What are you going to do? How much you going to beat them? You know, so leaving an energetically balanced sacred space to go even into the public. These children need to be protected,
right?
Because it can be a living nightmare for them out there. All that energy, these children are empathic. They soak up all that energy out there. The change within the child's temperament can be like watching Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, I know if you're old enough or you're young enough to remember Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but that was the movie where Dr. Jekyll was a doctor who did experimentation on himself, and he turned into the evil Mr. Hyde. So these children, they can switch up like that, and it's not their fault. We think they're supposed to maintain their personalities and maintain themselves, but it could very well be the environment that we have placed them in. You can learn to adjust it.
And that's when they, you know, the doctors out there have a word and a terminology for that too. And it's just like, okay, we have to really think about these things. And I'm not saying, like we say all the time, we're not saying take your children off of medication, but we really need, as parents, to sit down and we need to be patient, like you said, and work with the children. You know what I'm saying? Because I forgot the name of the what is it? It starts with a B.
The what?
It starts with a B. Now that, you know, people can switch and swap and their mood swings, switch and swap, and I forgot what the terminology is.
Bipolar.
Yes, they're bipolar. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to deal. Let's just call them bipolar. You know, and it's like, I know that there is a true illness out there probably called bipolar.
You know what?
But
I'm smiling to myself because I'm reading Jay Neville. I'm reading Neville's book. I was reading his book, the newest one he gave me, and what he says about bipolar, he said these people who are termed as bipolar, they're no different from the rest of us, except that their mood swings take longer to happen. In other words, I can be mean, evil, grumpy. I can change my mood at the drop of a pen. You know, I can walk outside my door and see something horrible, and I get annoyed. And so my mood changes. Or I can get in my car, and I see something pretty, see a butterfly, and I smile. Or I can go to the grocery store, and I can bump into something and knock down some groceries off the shelf, and I can be frustrated. Now, when you have a bipolar person, they're happy today, and maybe their mood swings, and they're upset tomorrow. So you call them bipolar. But to a certain extent, we all flip our moods on a regular basis. We do. We just do it a whole lot faster than bipolar people. All
right? Right.
So if they want to give these children...
Sit down and work with your child. You know, don't just
immediately
take
them
to the doctor.
We're going to give them some books that they can do. We're going to tell them some things. We're going to tell them some things they can do to work with the children. We're just giving them a little description of who they are right now. So give out the number, Jules, so that parents can know that when we get to the spot that they want to call in, they can call in and ask us some questions about these wonderful, wonderful spiritual children. Go for it.
Okay, this is Jules, and I'm and you need to call in 347-324-3030. Listen in, just follow us. We would like some feedback from you. And if you want a feedback, if you want to talk to us on the phone, we would love to hear your voice. And just press the number one, and we're here for you, okay, from Inside Matters.
Okay, thanks. All right, so you can learn. These parents can learn to adjust the energy. They can learn how to adjust the energy in their home. They can learn how to adjust the energy in their vehicle. So when they go out with children, when they get back in their car, they're in a safe space with the energy, and the energy can flip right off. When you go into certain places, you can feel the vibration in a home or a vibration. You can say, wow, it really feels good. I love the energy in this space. Well, these children are sensitive and unprotected. In certain environments, is similar to a sugar high. Sugar high. And one of the things, their diets are very important. Don't give them a lot of sugar and pastas and potatoes and things like that if you want to keep their energy or their nervous system at a nice even keel. Because they are, when they're on that sugar rush from the environment around them, they are at their peak of explosion in public because of the denser energies that's wrapped around them. When they get back in their own frequency, if you follow some of the things that we're going to discuss today, they can start to burn out because of the chaos their bodies have experienced. Okay, let's talk about a list of things that work wonderfully well for creating a sacred environment and other things to empower Indigo Crystal Kids. The first thing that can empower them, how about breath? Teach them to breathe. Breathing moves energy. When they are frustrated, scared, hyper, etc., ask them to stop and breathe deeply. Or don't even ask them to stop. Just say, come on, breathe with me, and you do it. Inhale through the nose and exhale through the mouth. Tell them to really exert the out blow, like, oof, like blowing out your anger. Make it fun and do it with them. You can always smudge. Jules and I smudge all the time. We cleanse our environment all the time. Smudge your home, and we use white sage to help clear the distracting vibrations. This needs to be done immediately after a blowout of any sort and on a regular basis. I had a woman in my apartment. She had a big old temper tantrum, and when she left, I got out my smudging stuff, and I staged my old apartment. And when I said to my son, I said, yeah, she went berserky up in here. You know, I had to say, he said it was that bad. I said, you got that right. So there's energy all around us that needs to be dispelled. Make it a part of your house cleaning routine. You can smudge daily depending upon what the kids have picked up from school. It can truly make an amazing difference. So when you have a whole bunch of activity all around in your environment, and that activity leaves, it's good to smudge your environment to bring back the balance of your own space. Staying grounded is very important, not only for parents of these children, but for the children as well. You can't be going off the deep end because child's having a temper tantrum, so now the parent or the caregiver is going to have a temper tantrum, screaming and hollering and, you know, banging stuff because child's having it. No, we are here to teach these children that there are alternative ways for them to calm down. There are many methods of how this is done. Use something that is fast and easy to do. How about intention and visualization? These are quick, easy methods and can be done in a second at any time without anyone even noticing. Do you have anything you want to add, Jules, before I go further?
You're pretty much covering it for me. I would probably reiterate what you just said because it's really deep and powerful because I understand that mothers sometimes get a little bit jealous when a child is different, when they're at one place with somebody. And I will say myself, I had the little girl that I babysit. She sat for 5 to 6 hours in the DMV with me on my lap, never even screamed, never nothing. I had her lunch with me and everything, and her mother was shocked. She did not scream. She did not run around. She didn't know. And a lot of people were surprised. Oh, is that your child? No, I'm just her nanny. And her mother can't put on her coat because I understand that your child will do different with someone else than they would do with you. Why? Because they know how much they can get away with. So really, you need to, like Duchess says, be patient and learn the expectations that you and your child should give off. And I'm kind of getting tongue-tied because it is just so much
right.
I love about these children.
Because what can happen, and once the parent understands the nature that it's not their child per se, it's the environment that the child is in, and the child's whole nervous system is being fed by that environment. Once you realize that, you're not going to excuse your child's behavior, but you're going to know certain key things that you can do to help your child fix themselves immediately. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This and then if you do this from the time they're little people on up, they will be they'll already be groomed to do this. Now the older ones, there are certain other things that you can do for them because now you're just starting. You know, you can get the book Empowering Your Indigo Child, and that's by the Dosik. We talked about that in a previous show, and in there it has activities for healing the older indigo child who has, you know, been riddled with the medication and the Ritalin and all this other stuff, and you want to work with them so that you can eventually, hopefully, wean them off of the medicine with the doctor's approval. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is the intention. Then with the intention and visualization, the first thing you might be able to do is ask Gaia, that's Mother Earth, her permission for your grounding cord to enter the core of her being. Then visualize a clear cord or clear rope coming from your root chakra, that's in the area near your tailbone, and entering the earth, just entering the earth. It grows in length and continues to grow until it has been fully anchored into the core of Mother Earth. This grounding cord releases negative energy and also brings in positive energy. Set your intention to send all the negative energy down this cord. Physically exhale, releasing it into the earth. After the negative energy has all been released, with intention, bring up the positive, life-giving earth energy with a physical inhale. Now, come on. You are not going to stand there and do all of this with your child in the grocery store, right? So that means that you and your child have to have done this on a regular basis, always. On a regular basis, maybe daily, maybe, you know, you all do this as a visualization exercise. And then there is a key word, a magic word. When you're in the grocery store, you can say to your child, Gia. And your child automatically knows what to do. Okay, without them even stopping walking, they automatically put themselves in grounding mode, and they ground themselves. They see that cord go down through the store's floor, down into Mother Earth. I mean, it's like instantaneous. So it takes practice. It takes practice, and you have your magic word that you say. When your child is, you know, like flipping this, that way, you say the magic word, they know what that word means, they immediately go there because they know that's going to help them, okay? So.
I want to say something about this. I want to say
go ahead.
Something. A lot of parents out there are listening to us right now, and they're like, yeah, right. This is a bunch of kooks. You know, they crazy. My child is really going to stop at some word called Gia. Well, I had some friends, and we was playing a game, and we were playing the Gift of Enlightenment. And they told me the first time they ever played that game, me and my mother, we were talking about feeling the heat coming from the cards and this and that. And they told me, they thought I was crazy. But now that they have the game, and, you know, they do it on a constant basis, they can actually believe in the things that we were saying, and they feel it themselves. But if you and your child practice, because we're not telling you that go to Mother Earth, because Mother Earth is real. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're saying go to something that is not real, you know, not here, not something that you can see. You can walk out your door right now and see a tree. You can see the dirt. You can see the worms. So something out there of the higher power made all of this stuff. So whatever you believe in your heart of hearts, go to that spot. And you teach your son or your daughter, this is what I want. You need to breathe. You need to take this in. If you are mad at me, breathe it in and blow it out. It's gone. Blow out the negative energy, because there's nothing that I did to you that is so bad that we're going to have a temper tantrum in the store, let everybody know. And I had to tell my oldest daughter, she is now 19 years old, that she was just blaming things and blaming things and blaming things on me. And I was like, listen, I didn't have a book to teach you. All I did was go on what I was taught. Well, now all of these books are here of natural things to do instead of medication or hitting or this and that. All you can do is say, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? Now let's sit by a tree. And let's breathe in the energy. Let's blow it out and move on. So all those children out there, please, if you have something to say or you want some feedback or you want to talk, let's call us. 347-324-3030, and we will sit and talk to you, because now these are the spiritual things that we have been practicing. My child is 19. That's my baby. But now I have a baby that came into my life right now, and like I said, me and her have the bond that she is so into the bondage that we have, that she has temper tantrums with her mother. Now, do I tell her, oops, she don't do that with me? No, because I don't want her mother to feel a certain way. But when her mother asks me, I'll tell her, yes, we sat down and we played with the worm and we talked to the worm. And her mother might think I'm crazy, Duchess, but these are the things that we have done. You know, we took
that little girl is truly blessed. So let's talk about shielding. You can teach your child how to shield also. Okay, so we talked about how they can, you know, tap out and pull negative energy from themselves. They don't know how they protect themselves when they go out of your house, or how they can protect them. Some of these children need to learn how to be protected when they go into their houses, all right? Because there's a whole lot of chaos and calamity going on inside of their houses. There are parents that take out things out on children because. You know, or they visit the sins of another parent onto the child, that's the same gender, that kind of thing. It's as though the child needs to be protected in their own environment. So any goes in, crystals are extremely sensitive. They're highly tuned energy fields, pick up negative emotions and environmental energy from their surroundings. They pick this up like a sponge, which causes severe mood swings. Imagine being in a room where there are 4 depressed people, 3 angry people, and the room itself has not been energetically cleared of all the emotional yuck for years. Okay? The indigo unknowingly will pick up all this energy and take it on as their own. And people wonder why these kids are labeled as ADHD. Teach them to create and surround themselves with the bubble of white light protection every morning. I taught my grandchildren this, my granddaughters, 23, 21, and 19. I taught them this when they were 5, 7, blah, 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 blah. They knew. I remember one time we were living in South Carolina and there was a tornado coming straight for us, and we sat down and we held hands and we put the bubble of white light around the house. Well, needless to say, the tornado shifted its course. Well, we know we did it. Now, somebody else would say, oh, that was just a coincidence. Well, we don't care what you say. We know we did it. Okay? All right. And we had fun doing it. Teach them to create and surround themselves with the bubble of white light. This repels the negative energy around them, but allows the positive energy to enter. The bubble would look like a soap bubble with them inside of it. Then there's exercise. It's important for exercise to remain a part of all of our lives. But this also helps the indigo children to rid themselves of excess energy, as their nervous systems are wired differently than ours or others. Excellent exercise outlets to release what they are holding in their emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual bodies are martial arts, yoga, karate, tai chi, dance classes, running, skipping, gymnastics, swimming, anything they love that gets them moving. Bring nature indoors as well. Lots of beautiful plants, rocks, crystals, waterfalls, aquariums. A quiet space with no electrical equipment in the room. This is a room for them to just be. Do whatever they love to do in their quiet time. Be it artwork, read, puzzles, Lego blocks, whatever. Just be. Nightly baths can be met with sea salt. See, a lot of people like to take a shower, and a shower is for people who are in a hurry. A bath is for somebody who wants to relax and for someone who wants to expend stuff. So, you can take a bath in sea salt. It pulls out all of the impurities in the body. Put some sea salt, put some baking soda, put some sage, essential oils in there. But for just, that's for the adults. I'm getting off on this bath thing now. I'm telling you what I put in my bath water. But for children, just a little sea salt. Be sure to have them drink plenty of water. You give children too many sweet little juicy juices. Even if it says 100% juice, it's 100% juice with sugar in it. They need to learn how to drink lots and lots of water because this pulls toxins from the physical body and also clears negative energies from their energetic body. Then,
can I say something?
Woo-woo. Sure.
If you are a parent that's already got the child on the juice tip, because I do, if you are a parent that already got the child on the juice tip, if they even see you putting water in their cup, they don't throw it back at you. You know, they're not taking that water. What you need to do is gradually dilute their juice, gradually until it already tastes like water juice. And now it's going to take a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, all they're going to want is water. So just gradually dilute it, and after a while, they're going to take that water because you cannot just stop the juice and give them water. So that's my input.
Okay. Then there's a little woo-woo thing going on here. Put sea salt on their name. Like, you know, you write your child's name out, put a little sprinkle, a little sea salt on there with their permission. You don't do anything with highly spiritual anybody without their permission, even your little child. You ask that child's permission because that child may be in a child's maybe 3-year-old body, but you don't know how old that soul is housed in that little body. So you ask permission to do this with their name. The salt pulls out all the negative energies that no longer serve them. My grandmother used to use salt always as a negative deterrent when I was a little girl. I remember, Mommy, salt for all that stuff. All right. Let the salt stay on the written name for 24 hours, then dump the salt into the toilet. The removal of all artificial scents is a must. Scents, you know, things you smell. Use only the highest quality oils and unscented beeswax candles. Play dolphin, orca, and angelic relaxing music. That gets them all the time because all that screaming chaotic music is only going to disturb their energy. You know, the parents like all that bouncy, bang, bummy, boom, boom, boom music. They do not know what it's doing to the indigo, crystal, and rainbow children's nervous system. They just don't know. They don't have a clue. Keep all electrical stuff out of their bedrooms if you can, which is a very difficult thing to do because, you know, when we say that because there's an electrical current running through all of those, the TV and running through the clock and the digital this and all of this and the nightlight, that means electrical current is having to come through there. All right.
Except
these children.
Duchess.
Yes.
Duchess, especially when they're sleeping. Please do not watch murder mystery movies and all that stuff when your baby is sleeping. I'm sorry. If you want to watch TV, put the baby in a different room because you don't know. That is all feeding through your child's mind. Or put a, I don't know, just all that banging hard music that, you know, with the slang and the swear words.
Absolutely.
That's all going into your child's brain.
Absolutely.
Brain. You know, you fall asleep with the
and
TV
you know,
on and you worry why
little,
you have a bad
take it a little
sleep.
Bit further, Jules. Take it a little bit further. Parents don't realize, women, when the baby is in your womb, they're affected by your outside environment. You think they can't hear all that noise. You think they don't feel what you feel. You think all that chaos around them is not affecting them. Ladies, yes, it is. Those unborn babies are affected by the environment in which you take them into. The noise, the cussing, the swearing. You know, my baby girl, I used to sit on the bed. It was so weird because I used to study. How else could I pay attention to a baby and go to college? So I would prop the baby on the bed and I would read my college books to the baby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, people thought I was crazy, but it was okay. We studied together, me and my baby.
Aww.
All right. Well, I remember somebody's grandmother used to read the Quran to her and her baby, her unborn baby, when she was pregnant carrying the baby. She's giving that baby lots of blessings. Above all, be honest with them at all times with no manipulation about things. Toning it down to their age level, that's about all you need to do. If you don't, you will have a war on your hands because you lie to these children. They know you're lying. They don't respect you. And it's a sad thing when a child does not respect a parent. So we walk around wondering, why this little boy doesn't respect his mother? Well, he sees and he's aware of all the stuff that she does. He knows that she lies to him, you know, when she says, well, you know, you can watch this when we get home, and then you, well, I changed my mind. No, don't lie to these children. Reiki, energy healing, sound healing, and other alternative healing methods are recommended for the healing, balancing, rejuvenating, and empowering, not just your indigos, but all of us. We are moving into a wonderful new world where peace will reside. That's a beautiful thing. Now, this took a little bit longer than I thought, Jules. We got to talk about these books. There are some books
okay,
that parents
let's go.
Can use. Well, one of my favorite ones, is by, what's her name? Mary Summerrain, and that's the Mountains, Meadows, and Moonbeams. What she said in her introduction, she put a little note to the parents, and the note basically said that Benjamin Franklin saw what he called electricity and believed in it, while others who could not see it scoffed and ridiculed him. Where would we be today if all the great inventors of yesteryear had been shamed into denying their beautiful discoveries because of fear of being labeled strange or different? She goes on to say, you as parents and guardians have fostered the belief in Santa, Tooth Fairy, and Easter Bunny. Therefore, do not question your child's belief in other things he or she sees and hears. The time has come to open up your mind as the little children and take joy in the discoveries you find there. Remember the real truth in the saying, seeing is believing, is believing is seeing. So a lot of times you got to believe in order for you to be able to see it. Now, I remember when I was a parent coming up, I didn't have any of these kinds of books for me to work with my children. And I found Mary Summerain's book, Mountains, Meadows, and Moonbeams, when I had some grandchildren. And I started working with them with the book. And that was the only spiritual book that I was able to work with them that I could find it for a long time. But I like the book because it talks about the real you. It talks about on a child's level about all the clairs, clairvoyance, clairaudience. It talks about psychokinesis. It talks about these big, heavy-duty words of spirituality and giftedness on a level that little children can understand. And then in the back, it has stories about morals and character, and she uses animals to explain integrity, truth, those types of things. And it's a really good book for bedtime stories, and the illustrations in the book are colorable. So it's also a coloring book if you have one child, or you can copy the pictures, and you know, many children can color them. There's another book called All I See Is Part of Me. And this book is by Chara M. Curtis. This book depicts a journey that carries the reader far beyond the printed page. A child discovers his common link with all of life. It's inspired by Sister Star. He finds the light within his heart, and as his vision expands, he sees the same light in all others. All I see is part of me. It's warm and inspiring, a delight for children of all ages, a book whose message is never forgotten. Now, the next book, my granddaughter is famous for this, What If, by Regina J. Williams. What if children happily went to bed on time every night? Impossible? Probably. But this delightful book will help make bedtime a fun time for everyone. What If features a little boy who uses his fantastic imagination to delay bedtime as long as possible. What if all the trees would suddenly shrink until they were the size of flowers and I could pick a bouquet just for you, Mom? While reading this enchanting, dream aloud bedtime story, children will have great fun imagining what ifs of their own. Be sure not to miss the special glow-in-the-dark dream page in the back of the book. Cassandra's Angel by Gina Otto. With its uplifting and heartwarming story, Cassandra's Angel brings an inspiring message of self-empowerment to children of all ages. It seems like everyone, her mother, her teacher, even other girls and boys, is telling Cassandra that she just can't do anything right, whether it's tidying her room or painting a picture. No wonder she feels misunderstood and alone. But then she meets a very special angel who shares a secret that will help Cassandra shine brightly and light up the world. Now, Deepak Chopra, he wrote a book that I read a long time ago for adults called Spiritual Laws of Success. And those spiritual laws were the law of pure potentiality, the law of giving and receiving, the law of karma, the law of least effort, the law of intention and desire, the law of detachment, and the law of dharma. Well, after many adults read this book, they expressed a desire to convey those same principles they had learned. They wanted to convey it to their children, along with questions about how to do so. Deepak Chopra came up with a book that he wrote, The Seven Spiritual Laws for Parents. And it answers to those parents who wish to raise children with values that satisfy spiritual needs as well as create the experience of abundance. exploring specific ways to practice the seven spiritual laws as a family. Chopra explains how to convey these laws to children and how to embody them in age-specific activities each day. You still there, Jules? You got anything you want to add yet?
I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm going to tell the truth. I haven't really read these books, but I'm finding what you're saying very, very interesting. So I'm going to just sit back and listen. But I do want some feedback out there. And if anybody out there has read these books or wants more feedback on the books, please call 347-324-3030. And I'm pretty sure Duchess can help out. Thank you.
Okay. We have Peggy Davison Jenkins, Nurturing Spirituality in Children. The greatest gifts that a child can receive are an open mind, a caring heart, and ignited creativity. This fully expanded illustrated edition of Nurturing Spirituality in Children includes 62 simple and thought-provoking lessons that can be shared with children in less than 10 minutes each. The lessons are easy to prepare and understand. They use commonly available materials and complement a wide variety of religious perspectives. Children who develop a healthy balance of mind and spirit are better able to respond to life's challenges when given the tools to think and discover for themselves. Okay, Dr. Jenkins gives scores of age-appropriate activities that help children learn empathy, trust, forgiveness, growth, and inner peace. The next book, The Little Soul in the Sun. This is a cute one because I know The Little Soul in the Sun is an excerpt. It turned into a book for children, but it's an excerpt from Neil Donald Walsh's famous trilogy, Conversations with God book. This book is a simple and powerful story that brings children a very profound truth. There is not absolute good or bad, that underneath all that happens in the world, all that we call good and all that we call bad is love. The child will discover a God that she or he can love because God is love, as all the little souls who are part of God and perhaps parents, too, will rediscover who they really are. And he has another book called The Little Soul and the Earth. And in this book, The Little Soul and Earth, the little soul is being asked by God to return to Earth in order to experience who he really is. I love these little books.
Mm-hmm.
Esther and Jerry Hicks. Esther Hicks channels Abraham. And Esther has, she and her husband, Jerry Hicks, wrote a couple of books. And the ones that I picked up for the children are Sarah Learns the Secret About the Law of Attraction. And this book offers the reader a thoughtful and inspired formula for generating appreciation, happiness, and good feelings, all this skillfully blended into the uplifting story of a determined, inquisitive girl named Sarah and her teacher, an ethereal owl named Solomon. There's something in Sarah for all or any child, an adult, teen, pursuing joy and meaning, and searching for answers about life, death, and the desires of the heart. Then there is another one, Solomon's Feathered, Fearless Friends by Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks, Solomon the Owl from the book, who speaks without moving his lips, reappears and gives Sarah and her classmate Seth a fresh and enlightening perspective on life on this planet. Simply put, these two adventurous tree-climbing friends dialogue with their ethereal-feathered mentor regarding their varied and sometimes confusing experiences with parents, teachers, other students, neighbors, The clarity, understanding, and wisdom that Solomon gives them results in some surprisingly practical views on the rules of the game of life. Then there are a number of books by Lori Light. She has a whole lot of books to teach children different techniques of meditation. There's the bubble writing. Children learn fun visualization techniques as they imagine filling and relaxing their bodies with the colors of the rainbow. A sea child and turtle take children on a bubble ride into the world of relaxation. Now, visualization is also known as creative imagery. It can lower stress and anxiety levels. Visualization is the ability to form a mental image of or use your imagination. Learning this can have a positive impact on your child's overall health, creativity, and performance. Creative imagery is also used to help parents heal faster. She has one called A Boy and a Turtle. And in this book, the colorful imagery in this story quiets the mind and relaxes the body for your child so your child can imagine himself managing stress, and it hopefully puts them to sleep peacefully. One of my favorites is... Yeah.
But judges, the parents have to understand if they're going to use these books and if they're going to teach their children how to use these books, the child will question you. If you stress out, freak out, don't manage your stress well, they will question you. So don't get mad when you get questioned by a 7-year-old, Mommy, why are you so stressed? Let's lay down and do meditation. You're gonna just be flabbergasted. So you need to learn what to do when you teaching your child. Do not do it yourself. So be prepared.
I like the one that she has out by. It's a boy and a bear, and promotes deep breathing and releases anger. It's about a little boy and a bear. This is for 3 to 10 year olds. This book tells the story of a young boy who encounters a polar bear while they are both climbing a snow-covered mountain. The boy and bear become friends and learn an important lesson in relaxation together as the bear watches the boy breathing. Children mirror their movements and learn valuable breathing skills to enhance their own relaxation. And then one of the other ones I want to mention, because she's got a lot, I like the one that is called The Sea Otter Cove. Now, the reason why I like this one also, and I'm mentioning this because this one, it focuses on the belly breath, the benefits of using belly breathing. Because when you use the belly breathing, it's helpful. It helps with your body elimination, eliminating waste and strengthen the immune system. Belly breathing aids in relaxation, relieves muscle tension, increases flexibility and joint strength, and helps to recover faster from stress and exertion. Belly breathing is enhancing emotional stability and mental clarity to feel more energetic and positive, and it reduces the need for stimulants and many harmful prescription drugs. So she has some CDs. Called Indigo Dreams, and so she has a host of things out there. That's Lori Light. CDs and books you can read, or if you don't have time to sit and read to your children, then what you might want to do is get the CDs and and play a CD for your child to relax and listen to. I noticed that I used to love, well, that was a long time ago. We didn't have television. Children used to like for you to read to them. They used to love to hear stories. Now, if they don't have pictures attached to those stories, you know, on a screen, they're not interested. Our children have to learn how to put the pictures in their head. That's where the parents come in. And if children are read to at a very early age, that's what they will do. They will use their own imagination. But parents have to have the patience. And parents don't have that patience very much anymore to sit down and read a story. And then, sad to say, you have parents who, when they were coming up, they didn't like to read. So they don't want to read to their children because they never really got involved in reading themselves.
And
but
we're
it's
not
time
really,
for the parents.
We're not out there blaming the parent, you know, so much. I mean, I hear us saying the parent has no patience, the parent has this, the parent has that. But, we understand because me and Duchess, we really worked hard. I mean, like, I wasn't home for my children because I worked over 40 hours a week. Why? Because I had to put food on that table. And we know how hard it is to be there for your children. But we're saying at least take just a couple of hours a day, maybe at bedtime, maybe in the morning when you get ready for work and you have, you know, sometimes you have to spend time with your child, just a little time. Just a little time. We're not blaming parents for everything.
Right.
Parents
it doesn't even
are not to, God.
It doesn't even have to be a couple of hours. I mean, while you're fixing breakfast for your child and, you know, you're having breakfast, you can talk about, you know, a breathing exercise, the belly breath, you know. I mean, when they go to bed, you can sit, take 15 minutes to read that story. It's not going to take a lot because these are children's books and they're very, very, very easy words, very simple, not even long. You know, it's not like you're going to read a novel to them. We're not asking you to read a novel. Before you know it, they'll be asleep because you've read them a story that's causing them to visualize what's going on. They're closing their eyes and thinking about what they're seeing, and they're on this bubble balloon, and they just floating. And before you know it, you're not even finished with the story, and they're gone. So it's a fun thing. And if you have some that can read, like my 8-year-old granddaughter, she might be able, you might have that one read it to you. Go ahead, Mommy. I'm going to read the story to you while you relax. What a wonderful way for you to get some meditation time in with your child reading a visualization book to you. That would be great. Now, for the parents who really want to get down, we have the Indigo Child, The New Kids Have Arrived. And that's by Lee Carroll and Jan Tober. We're not going to go too lengthy into that because we talked about that book, and we also talked about one of their other ones. But what I really want to say is if you're new to the Indigo concept, you might want to do some historical reading, and that's with the book called Indigos, The Quiet Storm. And that's by Kathy Altaris and Nancy Trapp. Now, Nancy Trapp was the one who coined the phrase indigos because she could see colors around people. She could read auras, and she saw these, all of a sudden, all of these indigo-colored auras coming through. And the book basically states that geek, Sagittarius, liberal, or conservative, dyslexic, jock, these are labels which define and identify us. They give us a place to belong and a way to relate to those who like the same things we do. In the 1970s, Nancy Trapp identified a new group of children being born as indigo, a term which has rapidly spread around the world ever since. Today, Nancy speaks out for those remarkable. Nancy has since passed away, so this is the introduction in her book that I'm reading to you. Nancy speaks out for these remarkable individuals who are bringing the winds of change to every level of society and culture. Who are indigos? What are they like today, nearly 40 years later? Indigos are globalizing the planet. Their consciousness is accelerating the demise of outworn institutions, and is bringing about so-called Twitter revolutions in political regimes such as those in Egypt and in Libya. How has that happened? What are they doing? How are they doing? What is it like to be an indigo? what has it been like to watch them grow and develop? Indigo, The Quiet Storm is the crowning achievement of Nancy Trapp's work with human existence and how it plays out in the individual personality. Her legacy for tomorrow clarifies the labels she began 40 years ago and promises an explanation of the indigo mindset potential. So that's Nancy's book, Indigo Storm. I had a lot of books, huh? I still got some left.
You do. And I hope the people out there got them all or at least got their favorite one written down, or all they have to do is go to our website and get some more information. And we just love this. We love Inside Matters. And we love the people who just listen to us on this talk show, because we have a lot to give, and it's about you and not about us and helping you and your children. It's a great talk show. I love it.
Right. There is another book. There's Doreen Virtue's book, and she talks about the indigo crystal and rainbow children. She also talks about the feeding of them. So she has some good. She's the angel therapist. Then there was this little short book. Life is not a candy store; it's the way to the candy store. That's a cool book. It's not a candy store. And last but not least. I want to bring up this book. It's called The Right Touch. A read aloud story to help prevent child sexual abuse. The Right Touch reaches beyond the usual scope of a children's picture book. It is a parenting book that introduces a very difficult topic, the sexual abuse of young children. This gentle, thoughtful story can be read aloud to a child by any trusted caregiver. In the story, young Jimmy's mom explains the difference between touches that are positive and touches that are secret, deceptive, or forced. She tells him how to resist inappropriate touching, affirming that abuse is not the child's fault. The introduction provides valuable information about sexual abuse and guidance on what to do if your child experiences an abusive situation. Jody Bergsma's gentle illustrations soften the impact of this story, yet this portrayal of a dangerous situation is very realistic. If your child is old enough to sit still and listen to a story, he or she is old enough for The Right Touch. Now, this book has won awards by the Benjamin Franklin Parenting Award, and it's also been, it was a finalist in the Small Press Award as selected as outstanding by the Parent Council. And there is one book that we must mention. And one of our callers told us about this book a couple of weeks ago when we got a call in. And he talked about the book, What is Heaven? And What is Heaven is a book that was written by Maria Shriver. And it's just a book that helps children learn about death and dying and what your parents say when a loved one dies. And then she also wrote another one called What's Happening to Grandpa? And that's the story where the little girl wants to know why can't Grandpa remember her name sometimes. So that's introducing children to the elderly and Alzheimer's. And that's where I'm going to end with the book review for the parents. And I hope they enjoyed it. I hope we didn't bore anyone. I wasn't bored. I had a good time doing the research on those books. And so next week, I would say that we're probably going to have a meditation, 15-minute meditation. I'm going to allow Jules to go on vacation. So Jules go on vacation, I'm going on vacation too. I won't have anybody to talk to if Jules goes on vacation, so you all know what that's going to be like. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come online and I'm going to meditate with you all. And you can do that. We're going to prep ourselves for Deepak Chopra and Oprah's 21-day meditation challenge that's coming up on the 5th of August. I hope everyone is registered for that. I'm registered again, so I can do the 21-day challenge. I love doing these challenges. But I'm going to prep everybody on the 4th with a little pre-meditation exercise, and the show will be only about as long as the meditation. I'm going to say, hey, howdy, and then we're going to meditate, and then I'm going to say, see you later. So it'll be a very short show next week. You want a card? We got like maybe 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness, 10 minutes. Let's pick an angel. I think everyone should put their eyes together and just put their energy into their phones, into their computers, everything, and just pick an angel.
Do
go ahead,
angel. Okay, let's see what the angels have to say today. The angels, the card for the angels is forgiveness. The angels say, let go of anger and resentment and feel yourself healed. You don't need to forgive the action, just the person, so that you can be at peace. And the explanation is, by drawing this card, your angels guide you to release anger and irritation. They realize that you may be perfectly justified in feeling angry. If they ask you to look at your high price, look at the high price you pay for being the vessel of anger. Forgiveness does not mean what you did is okay to me. It simply means I am no longer willing to carry around pain in response to your actions. When we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, we only punish ourselves after all. Your angels will help you release unforgiveness if you will just ask for their assistance. Oh, it's been a beautiful day. A beautiful day.
Wonderful.
Before I go, I'm pulling.
And we think about that angel card. I want y'all to really think about what God just said. Because like my mother used to say, when you're angry like that, all you're doing is drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. And that is the truth. So,
and that's
anyway,
sad truth.
We got 7 minutes, and
is that it for tonight?
Yes, that
oh,
is.
Oh, I
for
know.
Tonight.
I thought you were going to say pull animal card. No, no animals tonight. We're going to call it a night, and you enjoy your vacation, and I'll talk to you later. Okay.
All right.
You stay
See
blessed.
You later.
And everyone out there, stay blessed.
Yes. Love you
bless
all.
You.
Bye-bye.
Night-night.
Night-night.
Thank you.
caller.